and it engulfs everything in its path. And that's what happened to this boat. And suddenly these men, these 27 men, are stuck on this frozen sea, on the boat for months. They couldn't get off. 8 months stuck on this ship from January 18th to October 27th. Finally, the ship was crushed to the point where they had to get off. And during this dire situation, every man had a choice to make. They could submit to the leader, the captain, or they could rebel. Some of them wanted to strike out on their own. They wanted to go do their own thing. They wanted to get away. They wanted to take it out on their own to see if they could make it. Others wanted to argue with the captain's orders. He made orders like rationing food. You can only have this much food. You need to do this routine. This is how we're going to survive if we do this, 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 and this. Or even abandoning personal treasures to lighten their loads. They wanted to rebel against these things. But the captain made it clear that we live together or we die alone. And here's the truth. There could be no contentment. They had to become content with their situation. And they could not be content without first submitting to the rules, to the way that the leader had put in place. And only after they had submitted, laying down their own pride, laying down their own will and their own opinions, and trusting in the leadership of Captain Shackleton, did they begin to find that contentment. And they learned to be grateful for what they had instead of what they didn't have, what they had lost. They were grateful for things like a hot drink or a dry sleeping bag or even the simple fact that they were still alive that day. And that hard submission led to surprising contentment. And that contentment transformed them. So after the ship had been crushed, they had to camp on ice floes. This is ice that's on the sea and it's just flowing where it will. There's no way to control it. It's just going wherever it wants to go. So they're floating around the Weddell Sea. And in April of 1916, they finally landed on this island called Elephant Island. This small island with absolutely no provision. There was no food. There was no shelter. There was nothing there. They were far away from any shipping lanes or shipping routes. There was no hope for them to be saved. They couldn't last very long here. So Captain Shackleton and five other men took this lifeboat, this small 22-foot boat. That's not a very big boat if you know anything about boats. Probably most people wouldn't take it on the bay, let alone on the South Ocean, the Southern Ocean. But he took this boat and he sailed it 800 miles across the deadly Southern Ocean. After 16 brutal days of sailing on this tiny boat, he landed on South Georgia Island. The 22 people were still on the island waiting. Then after about 3.5 months of trying, 4 rescue attempts, Shackleton finally rescued all 22 men left on Elephant Island. Not one man, not one person died on that island. All of them were saved after 2 years of being stuck on this ice. Their submission, their contentment had saved their lives. They learned to be content with what they had. If they wouldn't, they wouldn't have survived. If they wanted more food on any given day, if they took more than they were supposed to have, who knows what would have happened. But they had faith in the captain, and that faith saved their lives. And it all started with submission. And that's what we see here in Mark 7, 24 through 30. We see a woman who submits to Christ. She is content with the lot that is given to her, and her faith brings an amazing change, both physical and spiritual. So let's dive into it. In Mark 7, 24, it says, "And from there he arose and went away to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And he entered the house and did not want anyone to know, yet he could not be hidden." Jesus had just had an intense conflict with the Pharisees over purity laws. He had argued with them. He had tried to show them the truth. And it was probably tiring. And at this time, he desired a moment of rest and withdrawal. He just wanted to get away for a second. And this was a normal practice for Jesus and his disciples. Often after he had done the work of the gospel, he would go off into the mountains or he would take his disciples away with him and just get away. And it should be a normal practice for us too. I'm not very good at rest. I'm just going to tell you. I'm not very good at stop. I do sit in my recliner, but I'm always doing something. You know, there's always another sermon to write or always another project that is on my mind or another church thing that has to be done or something for work that has to be done. I'm not very good at resting. But Jesus here is showing us the importance of rest, and we should do it. That's not the point of the message, by the way. It was just something I saw in there. Rest when we have to. And he was trying to get away, but his power and his popularity made it impossible for him. People wanted to be around Christ. They wanted him. They wanted what he could offer. And they came to him in all places, not caring whether he was resting or not. And in Mark 7, 25 through 26, this woman comes. It says, "But immediately a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell down at his feet." Now the woman was a Gentile, a Syrophoenician by birth, and she begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. Again, Jesus had just laid out the error of the Jews and the pursuit of the outward purity. He had shown them that it was the heart that was defiled. He showed that their keeping of the law, their washing of hands, their lineage wasn't really the thing that mattered. But that's what they counted for purity, and that's what they leaned on for their salvation. And these Jews also had a tendency to put other people groups down. They liked the Jews, and they looked at everyone else like they were dirty and filthy. So Jesus takes this message to Tyre and Sidon, a Gentile land. And immediately this Gentile woman comes to him. And I don't want you to miss that this story about this Gentile woman happens directly after the rejection of God's word by the religious leaders of Israel. Directly after. The Jews, who would have called this woman defiled, would have called her unclean. Gentiles were dirty in their eyes, just like eating with unwashed hands. These Gentiles to them were dirty. And Jesus tells them, or the Jews were supposed to stay away from them. Not Jesus, he didn't tell them that. That was a man-made law. In Acts 10:8, and he said to them, "You yourselves know how unlawful it is for a Jew to associate with or to visit anyone of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any person common or unclean." Of course, this separation of Jew and Gentile was a man-made law or tradition rather than a command of God. Yes, the Jews were supposed to be set apart. They were supposed to be set apart to God, but they weren't supposed to be isolated from all other people. They weren't supposed to keep everyone else out. But that's what they believed, because they were focused on the outside. They thought these people coming in would ruin their good, their purity, their outside. And they were focused on that, not submitting to the true law of God. And Jesus had just said as much to the Pharisees in Mark 7:8. He says, "You leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men." They were putting the tradition of man first. And this filthy Gentile woman came to Christ in full submission. The outside was irrelevant. It's the inward submission of the heart. Mankind is naturally adverse to submission. We don't like to give in to other people. We see it in the Jews' constant rebellion against God, constantly going against God. We see it in our own culture. Again, I'll use the MMA analogy. In our culture, submission is thought of as giving up or quitting. That's what it is in the MMA. When you tap out, you lose. When you submit, you lose. Submission in our culture is losing. But that's not the biblical take on submission. Submission is giving up your will for the will of another. Biblical submission is the voluntary act of yielding one's will, desires, and actions in humility and obedience to God's authority as revealed through His word, not out of weakness, but out of reverence, trust, and love for Christ. Submission, true submission, is giving up our own will for the will of God. And the Pharisees and most of the Jews submitted to the will of the elders instead of God's will. But this Gentile woman knew nothing of the traditions. She submitted to Jesus alone. And submitting to Jesus is crucial. Deuteronomy 10:12 says, "And now Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul." Not washing, not eating certain foods, not doing certain things, but to fear him, walk in his ways, love him, and serve him. That is true submission. And true submission is important because it acknowledges his lordship. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths." This woman came and she approached Jesus like the Jews should have, on her knees in submission. She bowed at his feet, trusting that he is who he claims to be. She humbles herself before Jesus, showing his reign over her. And she recognizes his lordship. And recognizing Jesus' lordship, I'll tell you, is the only way to salvation. He says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. Without submission to Jesus, we are living in rebellion towards God. Scripture says that we can do nothing good outside of Christ. Nothing we do is good outside of Christ. John 15, 4 and 5. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Does the branch not submit to the vine? And we, honestly, every single one of us have at one time in our lives or are now currently living outside of Christ. Romans 3:23 tells us that for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So either we were outside of the vine or we are now outside. And only submission to Christ can change that. Only giving in to Christ can change that. Submission acknowledges who God is and who we are in comparison to him. He is holy, he is perfect, he is just, and we are defiled on the inside. When we submit and we look up to God, we see that we are nowhere near what we are supposed to be. That we are in need of his mercy and grace in our lives. And submission is the first step to that mercy and grace. We have to submit. And this woman, and she comes and she kneels at the feet of Jesus. Is there a more clear sign of submission than this? Even in today's society, even today, kneeling at the feet of someone is a sign of submission. And this woman's submission is evident. It can be seen in her contentment with her place in God's plan. Mark 7, 27 and 28. And he said to her, that's Jesus. Jesus said to her, let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. But she answered him, yes, Lord, yet even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. The word children here represents Israel. And Jesus is saying, let Israel be fed first. And that means fed with the gospel, fed with Christ. There's an order to Jesus' ministry. The gospel was for the Jews first. Romans 1, 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And then the Gentiles. The promises were given to Abraham and to his descendants. The bread, the blessings, were for the children, were for the covenant people. So the Messiah, the gospel, Jesus, came to them first. And as a matter of fact, the Messiah came from them. He was one of them. Jesus was born a Jew. So salvation came through Israel, and it came to Israel first. It was offered first to the Jews. But the dogs, that word there is little puppies, and the word Jesus is used. The Gentiles use a different word we'll talk about. But the little puppies, the Gentiles, they were not left out. They just had to wait their turn. The dogs, that's what the Jews called Gentiles. It was a very defamatory term. But that would be most of us, by the way. I don't know if there's any Jewish people in here, but most of us are Gentiles. We are not from a Jewish lineage. We are outside of that lineage, so we are Gentiles. And Philippians 3:2 says this, look out for the dogs, look out for the evildoers, look out for the ones who mutilate the flesh. That's what the Jews thought of Gentiles for the most part. That was an insulting word. And of course, here in that context, Paul is turning it back on the Jews. But that was the thought process of them. And that word means wild dogs or scavengers. And Jesus' word means little puppies or pets or cute little things, you know? But it was a derogatory term when the Jews used it. But Jesus softened the blow by using the word that he used. And Jesus here was testing her faith. How would this woman respond to this statement from him? Well, she responded humbly and contentedly. Mark 7:28 again says, but she answered him, yes, Lord. Yet even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. She says, whatever is left, Lord, whatever you have left, I will take. Whatever mercy you have for me is good enough, Lord. She knew She did not deserve that mercy. She was an outsider. She wasn't a Jew. She didn't belong to that. But she was willing to take anything. Even the crumbs of his grace was good enough for her. She trusts that whatever he gives is sufficient. She understood what Psalm 23 says. She might not have known Psalm 23, but she understood what it said. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. She understood what Paul understood of mercy and grace. 2 Corinthians 12:9, Paul says, "But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness so that the power of Christ may rest upon me." She was content with having any amount of Jesus that Jesus was willing to give her. And God gives abundantly to those who think that way, those that are humble and content. James 4:6 says, "But he gives more grace." Therefore, it says, "God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Humble. Submission. And this contentment comes from that. It comes from surrender. Like in the story, like in the story of Captain Shackleton and his crew, when the people submitted to the authority of the captain, only then was there contentment in their lives. Only then were they okay with what they had. When they wanted to do their own thing, when they wanted to go their own way, there was nothing but disaster ahead. They were unhappy. And that the discontentment would have surely led to death. And this woman, this lady, this Gentile was content with the lot God had given her as a Gentile. She was content with whatever God did in the situation that she was in. She was blessed greatly because of her faith. But that faith required her to submit to Christ first and then be content with whatever he did with it. Are you content with where you are in life at this moment? And that doesn't mean giving up. That doesn't mean not working hard. But are you content with what God has purposed for your life in this exact moment? Submission and contentment are staples of true faith. True faith must have both submission and contentment. If we want more than God is offering us, then we aren't submitting to him, are we, at all? We're trying to do it our own way. We're trying to get things that aren't ours. And again, that's not saying we don't pray, we don't ask for things, but we have to be content with what he has given us, the places he has put us. And this Syrophoenician woman, she answered Jesus, "Yes, Lord," acknowledging God's order, acknowledging who he is, acknowledging that he is over her. She submits to it. She submits to God's order. She fell on her knees at the feet of Jesus, submitting to his will. The woman says, "Even the dogs get crumbs." She's content with God's plan. "Whatever it is, Lord, I accept humbly." And her faith brought wonderful blessings to her life. Mark 7:29 through 30. Remember, she's asking for a demon to be cast out of her daughter. Mark 7:29 through 30, Jesus said to her, "For this statement you may go your way. The demon has left your daughter." And she went home and found the child lying in bed and the demon gone. Jesus says, because you have answered this way, because you have proven your faith is true faith, because you have submitted and you are content, the demon has been removed. Your daughter is back to normal. Faith characterized by submission and contentment always brings change. Galatians 5:19-21. This is going to make sense when I get done with it. It might not when I start, but Galatians 5:19-21 says, "Now the works of the flesh are evident, sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." That is us. Without true faith. That is us when we aren't submitting to Christ. That is us in rebellion against God. That is a lifestyle of discontentment. So what does submission do for our life? Well, in the woman's case, it brought healing for her daughter. And in that time, healing often followed faith in Jesus' earthly ministry. He often healed people because he was trying to prove who he was to a rebellious people. He was revealing himself and who he was. But now we have a full revelation of Christ right here in our scriptures. And while God still does and still can heal, healing is not a necessary result of faith. If you don't believe me, go read the story of Paul. Paul had more faith than I have, and he had a thorn in his side. He asked several times for it to be removed, and he was not healed. So what is a necessary result of faith? Let's go back to Galatians 5, verses 22 through 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. The works of the flesh are dead if we have true faith. If we submit to God, if we are content with what God offers us, then the works of the flesh are dead. Galatians 5, 16 and 17 says, But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. That the flesh, that's that first list that I read. That's us in the flesh. And our submission to Christ, our contentment with His plan for our life, necessarily brings about the second list. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's what we get when we put our faith in Christ. That's what we are offered. We are offered those things. We can live like that. Now, that is life change. But there's more than that. There's more than that. We aren't just offered the fruit of the Spirit. We are justified by our submission to the will of God. We are justified. Romans 5:1 says, Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Faith, submission, and contentment justifies us in the eyes of God. That means that we are declared righteous, not by what we do on the outside, but by submitting to Christ, to being content. Because his son took our place. Jesus took the punishment that he didn't deserve. He took the full wrath of God for sin to give us the righteousness we don't deserve. He took what he didn't deserve to give us what we don't deserve. And that's what we get when we submit to Christ. And that should surely drive us towards contentment with his plan for us. We should be like the woman we saw in this passage. Yes, Lord, even the dogs like me eat the crumbs that are dropped. I will take any mercy you have left for me, Jesus. Anything you give me, I will accept, because I know that it will be more than sufficient. I assure you that the mercy of God is sufficient for you. Sufficient, abundantly sufficient. And all you have to do is have faith in Jesus as Lord and Savior. You don't have to clean up. You don't have to wash your hands. Have faith. Has your life been changed by faith? Is the fruit of the Spirit being produced in your life? If it's not, if you're not producing the fruit of the Spirit in your life, then you need to really take stock of yourself and see if you are saved. Because that is a necessary change in the life of a Christian. Have you been justified? Have you been made right by faith? Let's think back to the opening story for a minute. Think about these men that are trapped on this ice for 2 years. Their lives depended on submission to their leadership of their captain. They had to learn to be content with what they had. We too have to learn to be content with what God gives us. It's not an immediate thing, trust me. If it was, I would be in a much better place. I still strive after things that God doesn't have for me. It's getting better. But we have to learn to be content. And only by doing this, only when they learned to be content and they submitted to the will of the captain, could they thrive, live, and ultimately return home. And the Syrophoenician woman had to make a similar choice. She submitted fully to Christ. She came and humbly bowed before him. She humbly accepted whatever he was willing to offer her. And she was content with even the smallest crumb of his mercy and grace. She trusted that whatever Jesus offered would be enough. She showed true and life-changing faith in Jesus. And her daughter was healed. A demon was cast out because of it. And that daughter's healing reflects the power of God because of faith. Power of God's grace on the faithful, sorry. Our faith is meant to transform us also. We are meant to be transformed by faith. Faith isn't a passive thing. It's a submission to God's authority. It is content with its will, and it produces the fruit of the Spirit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And that faith that we have, it puts the works of the flesh to death. And it brings justification. It restores our relationship with the Holy Creator. Jesus offers this transformation to every person. Every person has this offered to them. God desires that all people come to saving faith. 1 Timothy 2, 3, and 4. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. 2 Peter 3, 9. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. He wants all of us to come. Jesus died in your place. He took the full wrath for sin, yet he committed none. 1 Peter 2:22, he committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. He hung on the cross to pay for the sins of the world. And he offers the righteousness that he has to us. He offers us his perfection in the eyes of God. God looks on us if we have faith, and he sees his Son. Romans 5:19 says, for by the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners. So by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. Romans 3:22, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction. All who believe. That is all who submit to Jesus. To all who are content to follow his will. Do you consider yourself a believer? Are you a Christian? Then I ask you this. Are you truly submitting to Christ? Are you allowing him to have authority over all aspects of your life? Or is there something in your life that you're still not willing to give over? Is there something in your life that you still haven't offered to him, that you haven't submitted to him? Sometimes we like to hold on to that one thing that we don't think God can do better than we have. And we won't submit it to him. Are you content with where God has you in this moment? Are you okay with whatever lot he gives you in this life? Just reminded just right now of the song, It Is Well With My Soul. It is well with my soul. No matter what he gives me. And if not, then I have a prayer for you to pray. If you're not content, if you haven't given all over to him, Psalm 139, the last two verses, 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Pray that. Cry out to God to direct you in submission and contentment. While I was preparing for this message, yesterday morning actually, I was just going back through and I was reading through it and making sure it made a little bit of sense. And I was struck deeply by this woman's contentment. Or maybe more accurately, I was struck deeply by my own discontentment. And as I often do when God reveals things to me, I sent a message to two men I consider friends and mentors. And I want to share the message that I sent them with you because I think it's important. It's really my heart. I said this, the humble faith of the Syrophoenician woman is so convicting. She was willing to take the crumbs of God's mercy and grace, realizing their sufficiency. Am I content with the things God has given me? Am I content with a 10 to 15 person church at Marshy Hope? Am I content with the secular job God has me in this moment? Am I content with the tiredness I feel of this season? They are all certainly because of his mercy and grace. Am I content with even less if he calls me to it? She saw the sufficiency in the crumbs that fell from the table. How dare I not be content with the abundance he has given me? How arrogant am I to expect more and not less? God, make me see your mercy and grace as she sees it. Amen. If you have never surrendered your life to Christ, if you've never submitted to him, I hope today is the day. I pray that today is the day. Like this woman, come humbly before him. That's all you have to do is submit to him. That's it. All you have to do is submit to his lordship. Trust in his mercy and grace. Be content with his plan and he will transform your life. I know I've seen it in my own life. I know most of you have seen it in your lives. He will give you peace, joy, and a new heart. He will make you new. You will be born again. And nothing can separate you from his love once you submit to him. This faith that submits, this faith that is content, this is a faith that transforms necessarily. And I invite you now, if you have never, to respond to this offer from Christ. I ask now that will you submit, if you never have, to Jesus for the first time, knowing that whatever he gives you is sufficient. Even if it is a crumb off of the table, it is enough mercy and grace to take you from hell to heaven. If so, please let someone know. If you said that today, if you believe that for the first time today, let one of the deacons know. Come to me. Go to someone that you trust. Tell them. Help us to walk you to what's next. Father God, we thank you. We thank you so greatly for your crumbs, for your mercy and grace on us. Lord, just allowing us to be here, for allowing the rain to fall on the parched land, for allowing the word of God to be spoken freely and openly. God, we thank you. We love you. Lord, continue to pour your mercy and grace on us. Lord, until you come, help us to share your word. Help us to share your gospel. Help us to be bold. Help us to stand on the truth. Help us to share the word with those who don't know it. In your son's holy name, amen. Amen. All right. We're going to sing another song, I think. Rock of Ages, I believe. That's a good song to end that with.